you may have been, might have heard lately about the, I think it was on YouTube or something, the moose licking the cars as they go by. Every animal needs its salt. Did you know that salt is the only thing that cannot be salted? Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared the Holy Spirit, shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted in the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and have then fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. That is a hard saying indeed. Salt that has lost its saltiness is to be trodden underfoot by men. We here in Canada use salt every day when we get ice buildup on our doorsteps and what have you, to clean off our roads. The Talmud shows that the salt which had become unfit for sacrificial use in the storehouse was sprinkled in wet weather upon the slopes and steps of the temple to prevent the feet of the priests from slipping. And we may accordingly see in our Lord's words a possible reference to this practice. Mr. Mondrell was quoted. He went to a place near Aleppo. It's a valley of salt, about 4 hours' drive from Aleppo. We hear a lot about Aleppo in the news these days. And it's not the only place in the world, but it's an example I'd like to bring. There's a small precipice occasioned by the continual taking away of the salt. In this, says he, you may see how the veins of it lie. I break a piece of it off, of which the part that was exposed to the rain, sun, and the air, though it had the sparks and particles of salt, yet it had perfectly lost its savor. The innermost part, which had been connected to the rock, it retained its savor. And that obviously speaks to our being part of the vine. The Beatitudes are a reflection of the characteristics of a Christ-like walk. It is not who we are. Then, if it is not who we are, then have we lost our saltiness? Or were we ever salty to begin with? If we look at the last two churches of Revelation 3, Philadelphia, a city of promise, receiving absolutely no condemnation, followed by Laodicea, a nauseating city, it lost its saltiness. Striving in a PC world, post-Christian, not dependent on God, but on self. Philadelphian period was marked by great awakenings and missionary zeal. Laodicean period, the prosperity gospel, mega church entertainment centers, self-help programs, and watered-down gospel. Not willing to offend. The gospel offends. What we are, say, and do is to reflect Christ, not self. The world around is always watching, watching for our hypocritical moments, our slips with the tongue, to somehow reject not us, but who we represent. What comes out when we stub our toe? It's not glory. It's not glorifying. When we fail there, the world's expectations, we lose our saltiness and set ourselves up to be trod underfoot, our witness damaged, labeled as a hypocrite. Light, you are the light of the world. were like nightlights in a darkened world. The glory of shining, God shining through, untinged, illuminating the mysteries of God. It's our walk. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. John writes in chapter 8, verse 12, again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. An understanding of the true gospel to shine forth into the hearts and minds of those alienated from God and Son. You are the light, a transformed carrier of light. We are lamps, Christ to shine through us. While we are light, it is not to be held up in a prideful manner, but in the meekness demonstrated by our Lord. Notice how many changed their language around us. This demonstrates the presence of and the fragrance of God, and that is being perceived. As Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, felt naked, exposed, others may seem judged as their walk is not what it should be. This is the working of the Holy Spirit, convicting. Revelation 1:12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven gold lampstands. And for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in the right hand and the seven gold lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. Light to a darkened world. Reflecting who? Jesus, who is in there at the center of them. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. For you are all children of light, children of the day, but we are not of the night or of the darkness. Benson writes, observe what our Lord says of John, John 5:35. He was a burning and shining light. It is applicable to every true Christian. Every such a one is not only a burning light. A person burning with love to God and zeal for his glory and love to mankind and zeal for their salvation, but also a shining light, communicating his light to others, both by instruction and holy conversation. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, 6 to 15. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. To the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. John 8:12 again. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And back to our verse chapter 2, Matthew 5, verse 2, 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The city on the hill. Why a city? Cities are attractive. They're attractive for shelter, protection in numbers, resources such as water and food. But so many artificial lights brighten the night sky, they can outshine the stars. We see very few stars when we look up here on the island of Montreal. Think of the cross on the side of Mount Royal. It beckons as a place Christian, does it not? But as the city grew, its skyscrapers now outshine the cross. As you get closer, you see many churches no longer shining. They are either tourist attractions or being repurposed as the congregations decline. The city on a hill. Again, a reminder of our walk, our witness. We are on display. The world is watching for our perceived hypocritical missteps, such as the time a van cut me off outside Chicago. Its back doors were plastered with evangelical bumper stickers. You can imagine the remarks that generated with those I was traveling with that day. That was a city on the hill moment. While we are not under the law, being people of grace, the minds of those watching with their perception of law have lawful expectations. And they watch as we are on display. We need to be as Peter learned to be, all things to all men, to avoid their stumbling in and outside the church. Verse 15. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Mark echoes, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And Luke also echoes, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Luke also, chapter 11. Verse 33, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Mr. Gill, a favorite of Spurgeon, writes, Christ has lighted the candle of the everlasting gospel and given gifts to men for the ministration of it, not to be concealed and neglected, or to be used as the servant did his Lord's money, wrap it up in a napkin and hide it in the earth. Ministers, servants, each one of us are not, through slothfulness, to neglect the gift that is in them, nor through fear to hide their talents, or to keep part back any of the gospel, or cover anything out of the sight which may be profitable to the souls. Fear of men more than the fear of God, we may tend to hide who we are. The children of light we say. Sometimes we say, "Oh, it's just I'm just shy. It's shy. It's shyness." No. It's fear of judgment by those who are already judged. During the age of the Inquisition, or today, in Iraq, Syria, many places around the world, where the threat is fear of death. This death envelopes the demand for a declaration of a belief, of the belief in you. We can see how Peter likewise stumbled and rejected his Lord. But for us, when we have a Peter test, there's no fear of death. It's just a fear of being negatively judged by the already judged. Just a fear of man. A fear of not fitting in. A fear of standing out and apart. Of being singled out as being labeled an intolerant Christian. So some of us hide, refuse to walk outside Christian circles. I liken it to monks in a virtual monastery, avoiding to befriend the lost. We are bold, though, in our virtual monasteries, but fear-filled outside the wall, its walls, in the city. We may have our ticket to heaven. We can say, "I'm saved. Now I'll just wait for the calling home." Like a lazy boy Christian, my light is hidden. Thus, no criticism from the world around. Just keep it to myself. No, we are to shine brightly. God's glory is to shine forth. The world needs to see Jesus. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Not give us glory, but give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What is this light? It is the reflection of the Son of God, Jesus. I liken it like the moon with all its scars and craters. What's its job? It reflects the light of the sun to a darkened world. We need to walk as Jesus outlined in the Beatitudes and be the attitude. Spirit-led, mourning over the lost, and all meekness sharing God's good news, pointing them to the righteousness of the Godhead with a pure heart, in a peaceful fashion, pointing them to the God of mercy. Stuart writes, I read somewhere of a traveler at Calais going one dark and stormy night to a lighthouse there. While standing looking, the keeper of the lighthouse boasted of its brilliancy and beauty, observing there were very few such lights in the world besides. The traveler said, thoughtlessly it may be, what if one of these burners should go out tonight? What? Said the keeper. Go out, sir? Oh, sir, said he. Look at that dark and stormy sea. You cannot see them, but there are ships passing and repassing there to every point on the compass. Were the light to go out from my inattention, news would arrive from every part of the coast that ships and crews were lost through my neglect. No, no, God forbid that such a thing would ever happen. I feel every night as I look at the burners as if all the eyes of all the sailors of the world were looking at my lights and watching me. If such was his care of lights, the extinction of which could lead only to temporal catastrophes, oh, what should ours be? Let us sing. Make me a blessing. A couple weeks ago, many of us met at Westview for a meeting. Peter Kutugia prayed for revival on this here, the West Island. He also prayed that it would begin with us here at Faith. Do you believe that our God desires such a church? Emblazoned in his glory, a people dependent on his Spirit, mourning over sin, seeking out his righteousness, a meek, peaceable, Christ-like people, enduring all for the glory of God. Do you believe that revival is necessary here in the West Island, amongst his people? Do you believe an awakening is necessary here on this island? People needing to hear the gospel, see the gospel lived in and through us, the salt and the light. Then we need to join with Peter in his prayer that revival starts with us. We being the attitude our Jesus expects, and blessed we will be in a strong light to all we interact with, and we can be a blessing to someone today. Dear and Heavenly Father, you've called us to be salt and light, to resemble your Son, to shine forth with the gospel message, to live your gospel message in each of our neighborhoods. Father, pour on us a desire. Give us your eyes to mourn for those who live around us that we interact with every day and see their hopelessness. Give us your eyes. Break us down, break down our pride, break down our apprehensions, remove our fear. Give us courage that can only come from you. We know that your Holy Spirit goes before us. Open up and give us each opportunities, beginning today, this week, to share the love story you've given to us to share with everybody else, to share with them the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for an awakening on the West Island. We pray for a revival amongst your people on this West Island. We pray that you be glorified here on this West Island, so that you and you alone are glorified through each and every one of us. I pray these things in Jesus' holy and precious name and for your glory. Amen.